The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Dana White wanted to be the first to return to a normal sports schedule. UFC 249 is coming up. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Coming up in just a moment, we got to revisit that conversation we didn't finish. Mike A. wants to jump in. Nuno's picking fights. We got to get all that intra-show squabble settled. Plus, could the Power Five break apart in college football? That's all coming up in just a little bit here on the Will Cain Show. But joining me now on the phone lines is ESPN combat sports reporter Mark Raimondi. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Will. How's it going, man?
It's good. So I was listening to someone just recently, and I believe it was a conversation with Ariel Helwani, and it was about the fact that UFC 249 is coming back, and Dana White's made a real point of getting after it. And I believe Ariel Helwani was asked and answered, would you be comfortable heading back to an event and covering this right now? And he said, honestly, right now, no, I wouldn't. Now, what's interesting to me about that is there's several different layers to coming back. There's the government giving us the thumbs up, go ahead. There's businesses choosing to put on events or inviting us all back into the workspace. And then there's us making all of our individual choices. I'm curious for you and then what you know about fighters as well on the individual choice level. Are they ready to jump back into some semblance of normalcy?
The fighters are 100% ready to jump back, and they've been ready. Fighters they're probably the most resilient athletes that I've ever encountered in my time as a sports writer. It really is. It's hard to keep them away from training and away from fighting, even during a global pandemic where there are stay-at-home orders, where there are gyms closed. Fighters will always find a way. This is what they do. This is how they make their living. They also don't get paid unless they fight. So the one thing that's been constant throughout this whole process that the fighters have wanted to get back in the octagon and compete.
What about you covering it? You good to go with that?
I would 100% be in Jacksonville this week if I was asked to. I would have no problem doing it. I mean, the way that I see it is I think UFC 249 is, I mean, it really could be a historic event, right? The UFC coming back is one of the first major sporting events since all this stuff happened. I would love to get a chance to cover it. I mean, of course. I mean, I feel like, journalists go to war zones, right? Journalists go to live volcanoes. They go and they stand in front of hurricanes and other natural disasters, and they cover the news. So to me, this would be like covering the news.
Mark Raimondi here on the Will Cain Show, covers combat sports for ESPN. I was just trying to pull this email up, Mark. I had all of these quotes. Nuno, I don't know if you can pull it up, of things that Dana White had said recently. I just found it absolutely fascinating on his decision to bring back as quickly as possible UFC fights. I know that one of them was, while everybody else was doing whatever they were doing during quarantine, sitting by the pool, we were grinding, we were getting ready for this. It seems like Dana White's attitude from the beginning was, work continues, and we're going to try to figure out something to get back.
Well, I mean, one of the things that Dana White has been known for, since he and the Fertitta brothers acquired the UFC back in the early 2000s, is just his ability to pound the pavement and do everything in his power to bring the UFC to more eyes, to more luster, to become more of a mainstream sport. It's hard to argue that he hasn't succeeded in that, right? I mean, it is where it is now. It's an extremely popular sport, much more popular than it was when those guys took over the promotion. So I think that's the same thing applies here. I think when Dana White sees a challenge, I think when he sees even pushback, he pushes back even harder, and he's always been aggressive in that way. I would say not unlike Vince McMahon of WWE. I think they're very similar. They're cut from the same cloth.
Right. Here is the quote I was talking about. While everybody was effing lying out by the pool, hanging out, doing whatever the F they do during quarantine, we were in here effing grinding, man. And then he said this, I don't want to die. I don't have an effing death wish. I'm not out there trying to kill myself, and I don't want to kill any of my employees or their families. It's not like we're running around with no plan. The thing is, let's find solutions. How do we get back as close to normal as we could possibly get? A 15 to 20,000 seat arena with no fans isn't normal. A lot of things aren't normal going into this event. We're trying to figure out how to make it as safe as possible. Mark, what are they going to do besides putting on an event with no fans that's different from a normal UFC event?
Quite a lot of things. I mean, first of all, most fighters are arriving either today or tomorrow. Most are arriving tomorrow on Wednesday at the host hotel in Jacksonville. And as soon as they get to the hotel, they have to go through a medical screening, which includes COVID-19 testing. From there, they will go into the hotel, but they will ask to, within reason, self-isolate until those tests come back for COVID-19, whether they're positive or negative. Hopefully, of course, knock on wood, everyone is negative. And then every single day that they're at the hotel, they will have to get medically screened again. And it's not just the fighters either; it's the fighters and their corner people. So they're allowed three or four corners per fighter. So everyone that is with the UFC's group will be COVID-19 tested and be medically screened every single day at the hotel. There's also other precautions they're taking. Will, like normally there would be communal workout rooms at the hotel for fighters. No more. Now it's going to be individualized. So no one is kind of interspersing. Those rooms will have, sanitizer for the mats. They'll have personal saunas for fighters to cut weight if they so choose to in those saunas, not the communal sauna at the hotel gym. So just things like that at the hotel that are just vastly, vastly different than a normal fight week.
Okay. It's UFC 249. It's coming up. NASCAR is coming back soon. I think professional bull riding was continuing. There's been some horse racing continue. But among the major sports, Mark, I think this one's first, right? Dana's sort of accomplished his goal of being the first back.
He said he would do it, and it's looking pretty good on Saturday.
All right, Mark Raimondi, ESPN's combat reporter, sports reporter here on the Will Cain Show. Mark, thanks for jumping on with us today.
Thanks a lot, Will.
Okay. I'll be fascinated to see what the viewership is for that. By the way, it's got to be through the roof. Okay, let me do this. Let's pick up right where we left off for a minute. Nuno is in the process of bellyaching about everybody not taking up for him, or me in particular, against the heathens. And one of the heathens, Mike A., want to jump in. What's up, Mike?
No, Nuno was just very upset. You know, Will doesn't defend me against all these heathens on the show. And I didn't, first off, Nuno, I didn't know you needed defending from us. I think that's a you problem. And the second thing is, you know, in the circle, we're allowed to do what we want. We have to defend you from outside people. That's who we need to defend you from.
Right. You're sitting there telling me that all these people say, oh, you work with Will Cain, and then you say, oh, he's actually not that bad. That's outside people. But you want inside the circle protection, Nuno.
Well, no, it's – you guys made me – well, not you, Will, but like the rest of these guys made me feel like I was a bad person because I was quick to jump to, you know,
well, that's
taking
not
a
hard
shot
to do.
At Cerruti. Well, that's true. Taking a shot at Cerruti, and little did I know, like, you kind of did the same thing I did. Like, we're very similar.
I did not. First of all, I didn't make you feel like anything. You feel the way you feel about yourself.
No, the rest of you guys did.
Okay, here's what I went on a podcast with our old buddy Cerruti and Michelle Smallman. They have a podcast called Small Talk. You can go find it. And they were asking me about whether or not it bothers me, the trolling on social media, the dislike, the Will's a tool on social media. And I told them that, yeah, it bothers me, but I'm not going to change. But then I got all curious, and Nuno also gave me a hard time about this, because this is what he says is woe is me. I asked them then, why? Why do you think it is the way it is? Here's where that conversation went.
I'm curious about something, because of course we're talking about me. why do you think I am misunderstood then? Like, why do you think that perception is off of reality? Is it because of my perceived and real political beliefs in a world where you're not allowed to have those? Is it because I was on First Take, as you pointed out, Steve, for a couple of years, and that really just forced one side of my personality out? Like, why is it so off perception versus reality?
I think at ESPN, First Take is the reason. We talked about this. I mean, I don't think you are who you are on First Take. That's not who you are on The Will Cain Show. And there's similarities there, but you're much more a normal dude, down-to-earth, likable on The Will Cain Show, which is, I think, why you've sort of swayed so many people who initially didn't like you. The other thing I just think is, especially with social media, I mean, social media, it tends to lean very left, right? And even if you're in the center, and you just have a question, and you question anything that, you know, maybe that side is saying, you're immediately pegged as the bad guy. So I think even you just bringing up questions and wanting to have intelligent conversations and talk a lot of things through, that is sort of perceived to me as a negative to you, because you're not just saying, oh my God, I'm patting everyone on the back, because you genuinely want to find out what the truth is and want to have information on whatever subject you're looking at. So I just think that you approach life and you approach discussions about whether it's sports, politics, whatever, you approach it differently, and that makes some people uncomfortable. So that's why I think people don't like it.
All right. And to piggyback off of that, for me, it's kind of twofold. I think where we sit right now, nuance isn't cool. Open, respectful discussion isn't cool. Everyone wants to be cancel culture. I hate you. Everyone is very divisive. You're either on this side or you're on that side. There's really no gray area in between. And because you want to oftentimes exist in the gray area, people don't like that. They don't find that comfortable because they either want to love you or they want to hate you. And I also find that people who jump to those snap judgments of you or of other people, it says more about them than it does about you. From where I sit, I could say, hey, this guy is blue, and I'll get a tweet saying, shut up, the sky is green. You know, you know what I mean? Like, people don't want to listen to what I have to say because I'm a female. There's people that look at you and they look at the perceived package of you and they don't want to listen to what you have to say because of who you are in general. And that says more about them than it does about you, which is why you shouldn't take it personally.
All right. That was a little self-indulgent. I agree, Nuno. did you feel like that was a little woe is me? Was that what that was?
Oh, there was another little piece there, too, that it was a quick soundbite that I have that was a little woe is me. And you compared yourself to a successful rock, I don't even want to call it, music group. How should I say that?
Who?
Bubba.
Creed? Creed?
Yes.
No, Bubba, I said I saw that on Twitter. It said, why is Will like Joe Buck and Creed?
Yeah.
Like, everybody hates it. And I was like, I was offended by that, by the way. I don't think I'm Creed.
I think we should go to the videotape.
I'm Jimi Hendrix.
I saw somebody post last night. I really don't get the Will Cain hate on Twitter. It's like Creed or Joe Buck. It's not really a reason behind it. It's just cool for the sheep to say Will's not cool. And I got to tell you, it really hurt my feelings.
What are you saying, Nuno? I'm not the one who compared me to Creed. That was somebody else who did it.
Well, too, I just left the Rudy's laugh. Like, because he just laughed on the way out.
Bubba, Creed is not considered cool, right? Creed is the...
Correct.
Band everybody makes fun of, right?
Yeah.
But you'll never be cool.
What?
You'll never be cool. So you should just accept, like, be Creed, like, sell millions of albums, make all this money, and, you know, and it'd be like, if you run into them,
like,
you'd be
Nuno.
Like...
I don't know if I like Nuno. You will never be cool. According to whose definition? Those people that we're talking
the
about.
People that hurt your feelings.
No, they don't hurt my feelings. Okay, I'm done with that crap. They did ask me who I would invite to a dinner party, three people in media. I don't think I'm going to play that now, even though who I say. Do you think who I said will make everybody very angry, Nuno?
There definitely is a name there, yes.
Three people at my media dinner party. I don't know if we should play that. Let's get to this. Carson Wentz. There is a reason, perhaps, that they signed Jalen Hurts. It's the only reason I can think of that makes sense. Plus, there's some new sound out by a Big Ten commissioner about the future of the Power Five. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges, like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
This is The Will Cain Show.
Hey, Will, I love your show. Hey, one last thing. I travel on the road a lot. I listen to a lot of preachers as I'm traveling. But whenever I know you're on, I know you're going to preach the gospel of sports on ESPN. And I love it, man.
The Joel Osteen of sports is here for your needs,
That's
Braxton.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
I don't like anything about that conversation. I don't like the fact that we played it. I don't like Nuno saying that I'm not cool. I don't like being compared to Creed. I don't like any of it. I don't like any of it. None of it. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. A little bit of breaking news for you. The New York Giants have signed Cooper Rush to be their starting quarterback Not to be their starting quarterback, to be the backup to Daniel Jones. It appears that the New York Giants are turning into the Dallas Cowboys circa 2018 North. Jason Garrett.
They should get Michael Gallup.
Cool. Oh, God. I'll deal with you in a second. Nuno, are you excited? Backup. Are you excited?
He's not the backup. It's Colt McCoy who's the backup.
He's going to fight against
Alex Tanny for the third job.
Is that what you think?
Oh no, that's exactly what it is.
Why would they sign him? He's Jason Garrett's guy, fellow Ginger. I think the sky's the limit here for Cooper Rush in New York. You don't?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. It's either going to be Daniel Jones or bust, and Trevor Lawrence or whoever's number one on Mel's big board. He released it today. Was Trevor? Yeah, Justin Fields 3, which surprised I think a lot of people.
What do you think the Giants are doing? They're kind of like starting to put together this Dallas Cowboys North thing. I mean, I see it. Do you see it? You got something going here. Yeah. That's exactly what's happening. I think you need to get excited about it. I offered Mike a trade proposal a little bit earlier. Somebody hit me up on one of the social media sites and said, how about this? How about Michael Gallup and a first-round pick to the New York Jets for Jamal Adams? And Mike had the nerve to tell me no. Right away. No, like he scoffed at it. Bubba, what'd he say? He said Michael Gallup is a dime a dozen receiver. I think that's what he said. Yes. 1,100 yards.
You don't need to ask Bubba. You can come in. I'm not Nuno. I'm not going to back out when it comes time to being on the air. You want to ask me? I'll tell you right now. Michael Gallup is a dime a dozen receiver.
You are insane. You're insane.
Why? Because he had 1,100 yards last year? I thought Dak Prescott was everything, or are you doing that thing your listeners do where they blame Dak but also blame Jason Garrett?
I don't know what you're doing talking about Dak. I never contended that Dak was the sole reason for any Cowboys offensive success. Never. So I don't know what trick you tried to pull right there. But Michael Gallup is in a really good receiver. He's not yet a wide receiver one, but he is on his way to wide receiver one. I don't want to give him to you anyway. I want him on the Cowboys. So, I mean, I know you highly value your safeties, and Jamal Adams is great. I don't mean to diminish Jamal Adams. I would love to have Jamal Adams. But you were
covering your bases in case they actually make a deal. Gotcha.
Well, I want Jamal Adams, but I mean, I don't understand how the market can go from a first round pick to now you're potentially just theoretically
to a first round pick and an okay receiver.
You are really, really going to come to regret the way you are characterizing Michael Gallup as a okay dime a dozen receiver.
For the record, if I knew for sure Jamal Adams would not re-sign with the Jets, I'd consider your deal, but I probably would want more than Michael Gallup.
Michael Gallup would be the best receiver on the Jets right now.
That means nothing. So what? I'd be the best receiver on the Jets right now.
You'd have a wide receiver one right now. That's what you've been dying for. Michael Gallup's better than any receiver you would have taken outside of the 11th pick. I mean, I don't even know. He might be better than CeeDee Lamb. I'm not sure he's not better than CeeDee Lamb. He already had 1,100 yards in the NFL. You're too good for him. Yeah, dime a dozen. Right. We've struggled throughout the last couple of weeks, not just in this radio show over the last half hour, but in this radio show over the last couple of weeks to make sense in why it is the Philadelphia Eagles drafted Carson Wentz with drafted Jalen Hurts with a second round pick. But we might have stumbled across today the only reason that makes sense, the only potential logical conclusion as to why they drafted Jalen Hurts with a second round pick. I'll explain that coming up to you in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
This is Will Kane.
It's my job to tell the truth.
That's Will Kane's job.
You have to be wearing all denim if you're going to say
baby.
Reverend Blue Jeans.
Will Kane, check him out 4 o'clock on ESPN
Radio? Three
o'clock. I knew that. Totally knew. 3-6 on ESPN Radio.
Hard to make sense of the Philadelphia Eagles taking Jalen Hurts in the second round of the NFL draft. We might have found the one reason that does make sense. It's the Will Kane Show on ESPN Radio. Today, on ESPN Daily, Korean baseball started. One of the only leagues playing anywhere. If you watch the games on ESPN, you might see a player do a bat flip when you least expect it. Hear why bat flips are big in Korea. That's on ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. The one reason it actually does make sense to draft Jalen Hurts, that's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Kane Show. But Mike in L.A. wants to get in on
Mark.
Mark. Nuno, you should be excited. Mark's big on Cooper Rush to the Giants. Listen to this. Right, Mark?
Yeah, I think Cooper Rush, in my honest opinion, I think the Giants could use him like Taysom Hill, my opinion. I mean, Jason Garrett loves this guy. He's been around since 2017. And, you know, it's a small signing move. Giants have five quarterbacks.
Mark, are you messing with us right now? Are you messing with us?
No.
Are you doing the thing where everybody's now drafting a quarterback or signing somebody and saying they could be there, Taysom Hill? Like, what about Cooper Rush has ever said Taysom Hill to you?
He's white.
Well, a lot of – he's white. Well, he actually played wide receiver in high school, converted to a quarterback. And he wasn't big enough for a wide receiver, so they decided to move him to quarterback. I think it is in his junior year in high school. So
that's not a good sign, man.
Kind of. Taysom Hill fits the same profile. He's not a strong arm quarterback. He's kind of like he was a wide receiver converted. You know, Jalen Hurts is the same exact thing. Looks
for
the Eagles.
You think Jason Garrett got up there and said to Joe Judge, "I've got our Taysom Hill. He's the guy that hasn't taken a snap in 3 years in Dallas. But trust me, he is
in 2017 though in preseason he lit it up." You know what I mean? But obviously Dallas had Prescott. So it was like they were just looking for a serviceable backup. They also had Kellen Moore, but then Kellen Moore decided to go to coaching, so they had to keep him around. You know what I mean? But I like this move a lot. The Giants have five quarterbacks, so it's like obviously Colt McCoy could get the backup, but Rush could be thrown in some packages. Look for the Giants to make packages for Rush, trust me. That's just my opinion.
Okay. All right, Mark. There you go. There you go, Nuno. You got yourself a Taysom Hill with packages.
What are we doing here?
You got Taysom. What do you mean? What are we doing? You got a Taysom Hill.
Like at this point, you know what? Let's just not have a football season. If like if that's what they're going to roll out with the ginger clapper, like a bootleg Taysom Hill, let's just call it a day.
Package.
What? I couldn't hear you.
Package.
Yeah, that's what you got now. You got Cooper Rush as Taysom Hill with some. Some of those.
I love how Garrett didn't use him this way at all, but now he's going to unleash him.
Well, he didn't use him when he was in Dallas because Garrett was in charge. But you have to understand, now Garrett's not in charge, so he would sign Cooper Rush to do packages when he's not in charge. That's the issue, Bubba.
If we see Cooper Rush light up at a wide receiver spot one time, I'm going to lose my mind.
What if Mark is right? What if they sign Cooper Rush and he just is this ultimate X-factor gadget play packages weapon? And you're like, Jason, why not once in Dallas?
Then Mark needs to start hosting the show. And then there's questions for Garrett. And it's like, what on earth were you doing this whole time?
Hey, Mark needs to do more than host a show if that's what happens.
He's
got to
be a scout. We got to check back, you know, once the season starts. Let's see how we're doing, Mark.
Carson Wentz gave a press conference yesterday, and he addressed Jalen Hurts being drafted in the second round by the Philadelphia Eagles. For weeks, we have struggled now with why that would be the Eagles' path. doesn't really make sense, no matter how many packages you think you can put together for Jalen Hurts as their Taysom Hill. It doesn't matter how much you value the backup quarterback. The Cowboys, for one, just showed you can sign a very high-level backup quarterback for $3 million. So why spend a second-round pick on a guy? Well, I think the answer might have been revealed. Well, this is a bit of speculation, but I do think at least it makes sense. It's logical. When Carson Wentz talked about some of his injuries yesterday, listen to this.
It's scary stuff because it kind of changes a lot of things in your brain, and you only get one of these brains, so got to protect it. So I was dealing with it, and it was unfortunate, but fortunately, I'm in a pretty good place, and it was tough to just kind of see the not just the finish of that game, but just, you know, that was the end of our season. And it was just frustrating to not be out there, and you know, but like I said, I'm not going to delve too much into specifics on that stuff.
That's Carson Wentz saying concussions are scary, that it did some number on his brain. Now, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, was on Get Up this morning, and he started to talk about this issue, this injury history of Carson Wentz, and the way he is talking about that latest injury. Listen to this.
He's one concussion away from it becoming a very serious issue in Philadelphia. He's going to be 28 years old. He hasn't played in a meaningful playoff game in his career. And now that he's thinking about concussions, it's something we have to take note of as an organization. And just so we have a sense of where we're going in the sport, most teams now have a traditional scouting form, which has all the orthopedic injuries. But now most teams have a separate column in terms of concussions coming out of the college ranks. So everyone's taking note of it. And when your star quarterback says it, it really impacts your thinking because, you know, if he's saying it publicly, he's thinking about it privately.
So here is how you connect those dots. Now, I am not telling you this is what's going on. I'm not speculating that this is what's going to happen, but I am telling you this would at least make sense. If Carson Wentz is dealing with injuries in a way that's beginning to impact his quality of life, and if some of those injuries, like head injuries, have scared him to some degree, it's not unreasonable to think that the Philadelphia Eagles would have to consider a future without Carson Wentz. It's just that the day and age of considering a guy is devoted to your franchise, much less your sport, for 10 to 15 years is long past. I am sure Indianapolis Colts fans and management thought that Andrew Luck would be their quarterback off into the distant future, but that's not the way it worked out. Andrew Luck, with his injuries, with the amount of money he made, made a quality of life decision at some point that left the Colts wondering what their future was at quarterback. We now know that is, at least for the short term, Philip Rivers. If the Eagles are buying protection, insurance, a contingency plan, should Carson Wentz elect not to play for years and years on end, to see out the end of his contract, they now have a quarterback that I think by virtue of having picked him in the second round, we can believe they believe in-house, learning, ready to go. It's more than a backup quarterback ready to step in and play 2 to 3 games in a year. It's more than a gadget quarterback, more than a Taysom Hill with some packages rolled in there for a second round pick. It's actually an insurance policy for whether or not Carson Wentz is going to be a Philadelphia Eagle or continue playing football for years and years into the future. I'm making no value judgment. I'm not suggesting this is what Carson Wentz is thinking, nor that it's what he should think. But at this point, we have seen linebackers, offensive linemen, wide receivers, and quarterbacks all walk away from NFL careers much sooner than we ever could have expected. Because of injury, quality of life, and the money they've already earned, it's a more frequent decision than we have seen in the past. And if the Eagles, if the Eagles are covering their bases for some kind of potentiality like that, that at least makes sense for why you would take Jalen Hurts in the second round. Coming up on the Will Cain Show, there is some fascinating sound that just occurred on the Paul Feinbaum Show I want to share with you about the future of college football and whether or not the Power Five conferences could remain part of the NCAA. That's coming up here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Could the NCAA crack up? Could the Power Five conferences step away from the rest of college football? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, and you should tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90 Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN, and listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Michael Shue, a member of the Board of Regents for the University of Minnesota, was just on the Paul Feinbaum show. I've got several pieces of audio you have to hear about his prediction for the future of college football. But first, and possibly more importantly, Casey in Georgia wants to come to the defense of someone who feels constantly aggrieved, feels like everybody's against him, feels like nobody will take up for him. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about our supreme leader, Nuno. Casey? You're here for Nuno.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, Will. I just wanted to come to the defense of Nuno here, since you won't do it or any of the other guys. I mean, this guy just comes into work every day. You guys give him a hard time, which is great, and he takes it like a champ. I mean, he's got one of the toughest chins that I've seen in radio, and some of the treasures that he drops. I don't know if you guys appreciate them. 2011 team situation.
Well, and Bubba hasn't gotten to the crust. The crust? Crust?
Whoa.
Crust.
Ooh, boy.
Ooh, boy.
I think crust of the issue is your piece de resistance. I think that is your best work in all of broadcasting, Nuno. I think that one, if you don't win a Marconi Award for the crust of the issue, then I don't think there's one in your future.
What can I say? I'm just great at what I do.
I'm definitely a savant.
You need to tell Casey how much you appreciate him.
I appreciate it, Casey. But I love the fact that Casey realizes that I am working at a disadvantage.
What disadvantage are you?
Have you seen the rest of the staff? Come on, someone has to carry these guys.
Casey, let me tell you something. Do you know what he said today on the pre-show before your leader here, your hero, Nuno? He said he's working for at a disadvantage because he's carrying the rest of us. That's what he just said, Casey, right? Right? You just heard that.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. You know what he said during the call today? He said he was working at a disadvantage because he was an ESL student. He said he's an English is a second language guy, and that's the issue for him. Even though he's been speaking English for 40 years.
Yeah, see, I don't like to hear that. I mean, these excuses, that's kind of stuff behind the scenes that I don't hear. And, it kind of, makes me want to take back some of my comments, but I'm still going to come to his defense. But, I don't like those excuses. That tough chin comment, I don't know if it's aging so much, so well anymore.
Who knew I was working with Horace Grant over here, just divulging all the secrets of the show? Nice going, Horace.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Casey.
Horace.
I thought Casey turned on you because all of a sudden now, Horace was a little upset with the shine that Jordan was getting. come on. That was sensitive. Bubba, was that a drop you just played with? You should stop with that, or you were telling me too to stop telling what he said during the pre-show meeting?
That was not a drop. No drop.
Oh. All right. Well, there's Nuno's defense and his hero Casey. I would say,
ooh, boy,
better champions. Thanks, Casey. I appreciate the call.
Boy.
Michael Shue was just on with the Paul Feinbaum show, and this is what he said about the future of the relationship between the Power Five and the NCAA. Listen to this.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the Power Five, move away from the NCAA. The only problem is you have all the other parts of the NCAA, and all their infractions and committees after committee that are going to have to realign if something like that happens. But I can totally see it happening. I think it could happen pretty soon, within the next couple of years. I mean, it just depends on what everybody wants. If at the end of this pandemic, everyone says, hey, we need to keep everybody together and let's coalesce and sing kumbaya and all that kind of stuff, you can see that happening. But I think that would be kind of a temporary, short-term process where people are going to realize that it's not going to work.
Power Five within the next couple of years breaking away from the NCAA. I'm going to do a lot more on this tomorrow on the Will Cain Show. What would that look like? How would you align? Would it look just like the conferences now? Now, Ryan Glasspiegel, who reports at Outkick the Coverage, just tweeted out, he reached out to the University of Minnesota and they said this is a single individual board of regent who does not speak for the board. He does not speak for anybody else. I believe that's what he just tweeted out. But Chu has, he held nothing back. This is what he said about the NCAA and its future.
There are just so many people who don't want to get in the way of the current system. I mean, obviously now the system is broken, and because of the pandemic, it may be, it may never get back to normal. As you know, and I know you talk about this a lot on the show, but we're just in a place where the NCAA is broke. And I can't wait till they start asking the members for money, which is probably going to be within the next year.
So they're broke and they're broken, both. Wow, this is, I mean, it's one single individual regent, and how much power, influence, and insight does he have about the future? But there have been people speculating for some time, could the Power Five break away from the rest of the NCAA? Now, if you're a fan of a school from the Group of Five, in a way you feel like they already have. They have a monopoly on the playoffs until it's expanded. But as far as money is concerned, I guess violations and rules and certainly coming out of this pandemic, I think there is as likely a chance, as Shu says, that this thing breaks apart as it does as everybody joins hands and sings Kumbaya. I want to play you one more because he also made a prediction about football and school this fall.
I would say that based on what's available to us today in terms of science and vaccine development, I think the odds are we are not going to be back to school in the fall in person. And that may mean that sports is also not going to be happening, at least in the beginning. Now, I don't know how they're going to make a transition halfway through the fall semester and decide to have students on campus. But right now, I think based on everything I've heard, you know, it just doesn't look likely.
Wow. No students on campus in the fall, no sports in the beginning of the semester. Again, one regent, Michael Chu, member of the Board of Regents for the University of Minnesota, there on the Paul Feinbaum Show, one. But while we have emphasized every day here on the Will Cain Show, nobody knows anything, and I believe that to be true. I think epidemiologists know very little about this disease and how far it goes and what it's mutated into, and if you can get it again, its infection rate, its mortality rate. I don't think any politician knows about the future of the United States, and I don't think any regent or university president or coach knows about the future of sports. But that's one that would be on the inside.
Every woman wants me.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.